Good morning, church. I want to read to you from the passage that we'll be looking at this morning. It's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. I will start with verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Now, it's interesting that often we say that Jesus never in the gospel claimed to be God. Well, Palm Sunday, the last verse that we read, verse 44, Jesus was saying that on Palm Sunday, when I am coming into Jerusalem, it is God coming to you. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray, Lord, that as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, help us, Lord, to enter into his feelings. Help us, Lord, to enter into the feelings of the disciples. Help us, Lord, to learn to be faithful like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray this. Amen. I forgot the clicker. I need the clicker. So it's a little bit strange to be speaking to an empty church. Never done it before. Only other time that I've done it, I guess a couple of times, is when I was learning how to preach in seminary, and they were pointing a camera at me and I was preaching and there was no audience. The only people there were my classmates with notepads taking notes. What have I done right and what have I done wrong? So it's a very strange time. So for most of us, the COVID-19 pandemic has created a brand new world for us. Self-quarantine, I don't think I really have heard of those. Social distancing, staying at home for extended periods of time, working from home. Now, I think the active outdoors people would find this like a prison sentence. For those who are sick with COVID-19, they cannot even see their loved ones. They have to be at home or in the hospital, and their wives, their children, their parents cannot even visit. That is really hard. Now think about it. Palm Sunday is part of Lent, which started February the 26th until April the 9th. And you know, in some traditions, in some traditional churches, they are used to celebrating this period where they are used to not having things. They're abstaining from food and all that. But not being able to touch your children and to see them and to hug them, That is a brand new experience. It's hard. I'm sure you have seen clips of people, especially healthcare workers. You can sense the fear in their eyes when they talk about what they're experiencing. And there was a nurse that was interviewed, and she was quitting because it was too hard for her to bear. And I was seeing one short clip of a newborn baby. The parents were bringing them to the grandparents, but the grandparents were quarantined at home, at this nursing home, and they can't even touch the baby. They have to see the baby through the windows. That's really hard. Now, the jobless rate is high, unemployment lines are long, and people are queuing up for unemployment benefits in the thousands. The stock market is down, and there's a run on supplies. Look at it, empty shelves. Now, we've kind of seen some of those before, but nothing like what people are buying. We bought all the toilet papers. Now what? It's hard, all right? People are fearful and frightened. Now, we have seen reports and interviews of doctors, nurses, and they are scared. And some of them have paid the ultimate price. They've laid down their lives for others, and we should thank them. Since COVID-19 started in China, there are people who are starting to look at Chinese or anyone who looks like Chinese or Koreans with a different outlook. We are getting reports of more and more hate crimes committed against Asians, anyone who looks like Chinese or Koreans. In the church that I'm attending right now, we have a Korean couple. They are both professionals, both medical doctors. They said that they are so fearful that they don't even go to American grocery stores anymore. They only shop at H Mart. So this fear is real. They are overwhelmed with the present situation. And the statistics don't help. If you can see the map, you know, the large round circles, that's US. And we are not even at the peak yet. So all these statistics bring fear to us. These figures are from the New York Times. So how are we going to deal with this? And it's this Good Friday and this Easter that is coming up. It's going to be a very strange Good Friday and Easter. It will probably be the first worldwide digital Good Friday and Easter of the modern church. And this morning, what I'm doing, I've never done before. I am now doing something that I thought I will never do. I'm like a TV preacher now. Some said pastors are TV evangelists or computer evangelists. So uncertainties like this always bring up fears and anxieties in us. So how do we as believers during this uncertain time handle this? How do we deal with it? How do we turn our fears to faith? And I think some of you have the bulletins for it's online. I basically only have three main points. So look to Jesus. Why? Because he is faithful. Our Lord was faithful. He was faithful in all ways. He was faithful even in difficult and uncertain times. He is faithful today. When he rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, there was already tension. They were out for his blood. And the disciples were trying to persuade him not to go into Jerusalem because they are going to kill you. Look at John 11:8. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? See, they sense danger. But Jesus was faithful. He was steadfast. He came to fulfill God's will. He came to do God's bidding. In fact, if you have time, turn the book of Daniel when you are at home. After the service, Daniel 9:25 talks about the fact that one day God's Savior, God's Messiah, will come into Jerusalem. And so Jesus on Palm Sunday was fulfilling prophecy in Daniel 9:25. He had to be in Jerusalem that day. And as a faithful servant, he came to die. That is hard, but he was faithful. In John 11, we kind of read a little bit of it just now. He set out for Jerusalem one last time. In fact, Luke has a long record of this journey, his last journey into Jerusalem. Actually, it started in Luke chapter 9 all the way to chapter 19. 11 chapters about his last final journey. Let's look at just the beginning of the passage. Luke 9:51. As the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It says, in my translation, the NIV, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It depends on your translation. It's been translated in different ways. He was steadfastly setting his face. The word face was in the Greek, in the original. It's sort of like, I guess a modern translation would be, he was going to face the music. He's going to face the music for us. He was going to face the punishment. He set his face to go and do God's will. He was determined. He stilled himself. He made up his mind. He was faithful. And so during this time of uncertainties, we can learn from faithful Jesus to have this attitude of being faithful and steadfast. Jesus was determined to go and die for us. He was determined to face his greatest crisis, and I believe this was his greatest crisis as he journeyed to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus' disciples, as we said, tried to persuade him not to go. Thomas said to him in verse 16, of John 11:16, Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." You can sense the fear behind what he said. Jesus was going to go. We're going to go, and if we go, we will probably die. On Palm Sunday, the disciples and the crowd surrounding Jesus appeared to be faithful followers. All the cheering, right? A crowd in front of Jesus and a crowd behind Jesus, all calling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And we sang that just now. It seems like a parade. But 5 short days later, they changed their tune. Their faith gave way to fear. They took their eyes off Jesus. We are commanded in Hebrews 12:2-3, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that, I hope you underline the word, so that, that's the purpose, so that you and I today will not grow weary and lose heart. Look to Jesus, his faith on this Palm Sunday. He is faithful. He was called to Jerusalem to lay down his life, and he did. It was a difficult task. It was a fearful task. And when we read Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was crying real tears. He was afraid. He didn't want to die. But in the end, he said, "Father, let your will be done." So he persevered. He was faithful to the end. So Jesus was steadfast, faithful, and he was humble. He came on a donkey, not a war horse. There will be a time in the future when Jesus will be riding into Jerusalem on a war horse. But this was not that occasion. On this first coming, the presentation of God's Son for the first time in Jerusalem, he came in peace. He He came in humility on a donkey. And this is recorded for us. We read from Zechariah. On this occasion, Israel's king came on a donkey. Why? It's a picture of humility. You would expect a conquering king to come on a white stallion. But he came on a donkey. And he also speaks of peace. Donkey is also a symbol of peace. It is the opposite of a war horse. When King Solomon was crowned as the next king to succeed King David, he was asked by his father David to enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus was faithful to his father's command. He came to do his father's bidding. He came to fulfill prophecy. And we find that in Zechariah chapter 9, that's the passage that the gospel writers alluded to. Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And in the next verse, it says, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth." Jesus was faithful. He came to bring salvation. He was righteous. He was gentle. And he came to bring peace. The donkey replaced the chariots, replaced the war horses as in Zechariah's. The battle bow is broken. And then he is bringing peace to the whole world. He is proclaiming this gospel to the nations from sea to sea, from the river in Israel all the way to the ends of the earth. Jesus' faithfulness paid off. So today on Palm Sunday, you find that Jesus and God are worshipped all over the world. In fact, this morning, you can actually go online and have a virtual tour of Jerusalem today. It's a reenactment of Jesus on Palm Sunday entering Jerusalem. And you can do that online. Jesus isn't just the king. He's also Savior. This other fulfillment is found in Isaiah 62:11. It says, "The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes." So on Palm Sunday, we can see the great contrast between Jesus' faithfulness and the people's fearfulness. He was faithful, but the people were fearful. You can sense that in the passage we read earlier when Thomas talked to Jesus in John 11. They thought they will be dying in Jerusalem with Jesus. You can feel the fear in the words he used. The crowds were cheering Jesus and his disciples. Jesus appeared at that time in John 11, unstoppable. Even the Pharisees thought, that's the end. He's going to take over Jerusalem. But you know, people are fickle. People are faithless often. We are fickle. We are faithless often. We have to be careful of the crowds. Why? The whole crowd was cheering on Jesus. Be careful of being swayed just by numbers. See, faith in anything but Jesus will ultimately fail. Faith other than in Jesus will ultimately fail. It can quickly disappear and lead us to despair and fear. See, in the present COVID-19 crisis, the pandemic that we are facing, people who are trusting in, or people who have trusted in science, are left without hope because we don't have a cure yet. People who trust in the government is not doing enough. We who trust in medicine, we are left out to dry. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we can easily become fearful, just like the disciples. Now, according to USA Today, just last week, The U.S. topped 1,000 COVID-19 deaths in a single day. And that's a record at that time. And on that day, the 1,000 death or 1,000 over death was higher than America's most deadly illnesses at that time, lung cancer and the flu. So who says that the flu is more deadly? Not on that day. The disciples and the crowd were jubilant on Palm Sunday. It was a victory parade. The Pharisees didn't even think they could stop it. They tried. They asked Jesus to stop the disciples. And what did Jesus say? If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. This is the one occasion when Jesus entered Jerusalem rightfully as God's representative, as God's Messiah. And he should be recognized for that. I hope you spend some time this Palm Sunday to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to thank him for what he did. There seems to be so much faith in God and his promises when the crowds were shouting Hosanna. But you know, Satan is a master of deceit. And when we pat ourselves on the back for a job well done or for our faith, the next moment he tempts us to fall flat on our faces. There are many, many examples. Think of your own life. You know, how you are high up on the mountaintop and you are so faithful. The next moment, you fall flat. We fall flat. Think of Elijah on Mount Carmel, defeating the 950 false prophets. So much faith and power displayed. But the very next moment, you find that he was running for his life. He was fearful of one queen. Peter confessed Jesus, Matthew 16. So much faith in Jesus. But the next moment, what happened? In the next breath, he was faithless. He was fearful to go to Jerusalem. Lord, we should not go to Jerusalem. We are often fickle, faithless, and fearful. From Hosanna on Sunday, we can become faithless. On Sunday, Palm Sunday, we say Hosanna. And 5 days later, the crowd was saying, kill Jesus, kill him. From calling Jesus prophet, king, and savior, to doubting whether he could even save himself, even less saving us. Our world and believers included are fearful during these uncharted times. We are in a moment in history that we have never experienced before. We have never experienced worship online. I have never. Or at least I've never made it a habit. I know some people have. But very few of us do that. Will this become a new normal? Even talking, saying that, it's fearful, you know. Will the church survive something like this? I was told that in the 50s and the 60s in America, people, children in schools were taught how to hide under tables when the air raid siren will sound. Why? Just to test the system in case the Soviet Union attack us with nuclear bombs. Was that panic back then? How does that compare to the panic today because of the coronavirus? How does that compare with what people are experiencing today? They can't even go home, the medical workers, because they are fearful that when they hug and spend time with their children and their loved ones, that they'll be passing on this disease that they may not even know that they have, because they haven't been tested and the test results are not back yet. The fears are real. So we haven't found a cure for COVID-19. We are fearful. We are losing our jobs and investments. We are fearful. Our retirement accounts are dwindling. And so we are fearful, rightfully so. In the Gospel of John, John says that this king coming on Palm Sunday is not just any king. But he said, do not be afraid. He is the king of Israel. Not just any king, but he is your king. He's going into the capital of Israel. He is your king. And when the king comes, do not be afraid. Our King is here, and our King is still here today, and He has promised never to forsake us. In Hebrews 13:5, when the King is here, His subjects need not fear. And Luke chapter 19, verse 38 said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. See, the opposite of fear is faith. Faith in God, the King who rules. And because God rules, we can have peace. You know, remember I think sometimes you have heard this illustration. In the midst of a thunderstorm on a cliff, someone found a bird sleeping peacefully in a crack of the rock, sleeping, oblivious to the storm outside. The bird is at peace in the midst of the storm. So can we do that? Why? Because we are in God's hand. Palm Sunday tells us that we are still in a play on words, but in the palm of God's hand. John 16:33 tells us, I have told you these things, all the comforting things that Jesus was talking about, preparing a mansion for us in chapter 14, praying for us. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have troubles. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. That's what take heart means. Be cheerful. I have overcome the world. The Holman translation says, you will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. See, people in this world, we will always experience trouble because we live in the world. We will always face troubles, sufferings, and sicknesses, and pandemics. But take heart. The King is still on His throne, and He is faithful. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And He has already conquered our greatest enemy, which is sin and death. He has already paid for the penalty of sin. I don't know what crisis you are facing today. What crisis are you facing today? If you're not facing a crisis today, you will face one sooner or later. How will you overcome your crisis? How will you triumph over your crisis? Now we are often faithless, fickle. We need to be steadfast like Jesus. Our Lord can help us. He can help us turn our fickleness, our faithlessness into faith. We can be faithful like the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we turn our fear into faith? How can we be steadfast? How do we do that? Look to Jesus. Ask Him for help. It's a situation where it's beyond us. And I think this crisis that we are facing with COVID-19 is a good example. People who don't turn to anything, they always depend on themselves. Some of them have come to the end of their own strength. And some of them are casting themselves at the foot of the cross. They're coming back to God. Look to Jesus. Ask Him for help. Look to the heroes of the faith. Look for examples in the Bible. In Hebrews 11, there are many examples. These are people who are just like us. Sometimes they are fearful. Sometimes they were faithless. But when they look to God, they trust in God. They put their faith in God. They overcame. So there are plenty of examples. One example is 1 Corinthians 16. You know, the Corinthian church is not the best example of a church that is faithful, but Paul used the Corinthians. So I'm using this because I think that if the Corinthians can do it, we can do it. Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong. Hebrews 11, we talked about it. There are many examples in there that I think we can relate to. Like Samson. Samson is not exactly a faithful guy, but God used him when he finally came to the end of himself. Noah built a huge ark in the middle of nowhere where there was no water. Look at brothers and sisters in the church today. So it's easier to be faithful when you have a group of people who are like-minded, who want to be faithful, and they can encourage you to become faithful and persevering. I think that's the reason why Jesus chose 12 disciples. In the passage you read, he sent 2 disciples into the village ahead to get the colt. He didn't send one, he sent both, two people. Jesus chose 12, sent them out 2 by 2 for mutual encouragement. And so he gave us the church. And so when we need to be strong in faith, we need to look to the church as well. You may not like everything about the church, but the church is God's idea. I think it's a good idea. Bloom where you are planted, even in difficult circumstances. Moses learned many lessons for 40 years in the desert. Now, we're in the middle of a COVID-19 crisis. Hopefully not for 40 years. Hopefully not even for 40 days. But we can learn something. Maybe this is God's way of teaching us during this time with this COVID-19 crisis, where we are homebound, where we have to, we are shut out, we are shut in, that this crisis will help us empathize with believers in other countries who have been experiencing this for more than a year already. In China, churches were closed. Not because of COVID-19, because the government wants to close them down. They're closed. They were arrested. They're put in prison. So maybe this will help us to empathize, learn, to feel with them, to get a sense of a little bit of what they are going through. So in conclusion, what can we learn? I'm thinking of 5 things that will help us as I look at the 3 points that we talked about. Jesus' faithfulness, our unfaithfulness at times, how we can go from faithlessness to faithfulness. I'm thinking of 5 areas that we can take home with us. I think firstly, we need to remind ourselves that Palm Sunday is a victory day for the church. Jesus came to do God's will. As I said earlier, we are still in God's hand, in His palm. Our security is in the Lord. Therefore, we need not be fearful. We need to be faithful. We ought to be realistic that as believers, we can also face difficulties and challenges. And we need to find humor, because God is alive, He's in charge. We have endless hope. And so of any people, I think Christians during this time ought to remind ourselves we are loved by God. Remind ourselves of who we are and see the humor even in difficult circumstances. Example would be like what people are doing. Oh, they're very creative. Yeah, we are running out of toilet paper, right? And so you have the bakers making toilet paper cake, making fun of ourselves. And they have these other cookies that look like people with masks on, but they are actually icing. The white thing is icing sugar. We need to see the humor in life during this difficult time. And I'm reminded of not taking life too seriously. I was just reading this article from Christianity Today, and this is by the editor who does the humor column. And this was what he said. This was what he was experiencing. And he wanted to see the humor in what he was experiencing. I hope you can get a sense of his humor as well. Let me quote. Update, day 10 of the home quarantine, and the situation is dire. Supplies are dwindling. Cabin fever has set in. The little people in lockdown with us have overrun the compound. They have wasted toilet paper, eating all the good food, messing up the house faster than we can clean it, and refusing to obey even direct orders. They can be distracted for a period of time with TV, but they inevitably return to unleashing chaos. We have barricaded ourselves in our bedroom, but the door will hold for only so long. Do not send backups. They will just perish along with us. So, remind ourselves, we are loved by God, and He's in charge. And so see humor even during this time. Secondly, don't waste this crisis. It's a crisis, yes. But let's see the opportunity in the crisis. It's a time for us to evaluate our faithfulness or our lack of faithfulness or our fearfulness. Every crisis is an opportunity to bring out something new, new possibilities. And because of this crisis, we are learning new things. I mean, we are doing things online that we have never done before. I have never heard of Zoom. Even a month ago, I think. Yeah, what is Zoom? Yeah, my grandson will say Zoom, Zoom. That's talking about his car. But we are learning new things, new possibilities of doing church. Okay? Find out the opportunities there are to reach people. In this crisis, how can we reach people? You know, they are fearful. And because they are fearful, people who don't often think about God, they are faithless, careless people. They are carefree. But because of the crisis, they are now more open. They're willing to listen. So let's learn how to connect with them. So don't waste this good crisis. And the COVID-19 is a huge crisis. Don't waste the opportunity. You know, the people who are most impacted, many people are impacted. But example, restaurants are closed. So the restaurant people are hurting. The restaurant workers are hurting. The grocery stores, the people are hurting. And so what can we do? How can we show love? The church I'm attending right now, this is what they are doing. They have started to do. They're buying gift cards from restaurants and giving the gift cards to grocery store workers. And so they are actually killing two birds with one stone. They're helping the restaurant. They're helping to show love to the grocery store people. And when they talked with the manager was astonished. He said, "That is wonderful, you know. What other ways can we show love? What other ways can we use this time and not waste the opportunity? Read good stuff at home. Anyway, you are at home. You're not going anywhere. So read good stuff with the people around you. Have fun. Enjoy each other's company. Be productive. Work on your family. The relationships. I just read about Sir Isaac Newton. We know him, right? He's the one who discovered the law of gravity. But do you know when he discovered the law of gravity? He discovered the law of gravity during a time like just like us, during a crisis. There was a pandemic, a great plague in London. And as a university student, he was sent home with his classmates. And one day, he was at home. And he went out to the yard and he sat under an apple tree. And the rest is history. He didn't waste any crisis. He learned something. Thirdly, learn from this crisis. What can we learn? Well, I thought Tom Rainer wrote a very wonderful article on this. And he gave examples of what we can learn from this crisis. And I kind of paraphrased him and changed some things and took some things out. But basically, it's thanks to him. Number one, he said, what lessons can you learn? He's asking. What lessons can we learn from this digital world? During this pandemic, how can we use this time to learn about digital church? And I think for many churches, we have been scrambling to learn how to do live worship, digital worship on the internet. I think many churches have never done it before. And some churches are very small. They don't even have the manpower to do it. But they have no choice because churches are shut. And so they have to learn. So this is something that we can do, learn from this crisis. Secondly, how can you rediscover your community? We can meet. How can we have a community? Well, we are learning to do community online. Well, we say we use Zoom, we use Facebook, or whatever you use, to still try to have the semblance of a community. Are we able to share openly online? And a wonderful thing about, I suppose, Zoom, if you've used it a little bit, you can actually see the people when they talk. And that's wonderful. Three, what should your stewardship look like beyond the pandemic? See, some people will never give online. I don't trust the internet. But right now, we really have no choice. Unless you physically come to church and put it in an offering box. And many churches don't have offering box anymore. So, what are we going to do in terms of giving? So, should you make some radical changes in how your church uses the fund? Maybe this is the time to think about that. Number four, will COVID-19 cause you to think how you use your facilities? Wow, we have such a big facility, but I can see only four people in front of me. So should we even have a big building? It's a good thing thinking about. So can we use our facilities to the max? Can we use it so that the gospel will have a greater impact? How do we do that? Number five, how will your church connect and relate to other churches, especially during such a time? Are there new models on the horizon? Should you be part of a new model? Number six, is the Sunday worship only experience for most churchgoers about to die? See, we're so used to just coming together on Sunday as a congregation, but now we can't. Will that die because of this crisis? What if this crisis lasts for another 3 months? Can our church survive? No, I think it can go both ways. For some people, all of a sudden they can sit at home and wear their pajamas and not come to church and still be able to worship. Maybe after 3 months of that, they'll say, I think this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And they will do that. But then there are others who, because of the crisis, discover faith. And they will start showing up at church for the first time. So it can go both ways. Are we prepared to help people who are like that? Number seven, what changes would you make if you tossed out the old church calendar and started from a blank slate? We have no choice but to toss out our church calendar. Because in the past, we always have baptism on either Palm Sunday or especially on Good Friday or on Easter. But we can't have that anymore. So what do we do? Maybe we need to rethink our calendar. We obviously can't have VBS this year. So what do we do? So it's good to think about all those things. And lastly, number eight, read the book of Acts, the early churches. What changes does your church need to make to become a New Testament church? That's Tom Rainier. Number four, as I was thinking of this, maybe it's a time for us to repent and pray. People are scared. We are scared. And I think when we are scared, we are afraid, we are fearful. We should pray. Maybe it's a good time to repent. We are spending so much time at home. It's time to pray and repent. The vice president of our country, Vice President Pence, said something this week. He said, Bible studies in the presidential cabinet have grown. They have never had that many people show up. People realize that it's time to repent and pray. This is revival time. This is the time to find hope in God. So during this pandemic, people are looking for hope. And we are the people who should have hope. We should be the people who know what is happening. We should be the people who are faithful to God, who can show them God in our lives. This global missions outreach, just one organization, they actually uses the internet to reach people. During this pandemic, the responses that they're getting is just unbelievable. They usually have 350,000 people writing in from the world, worldwide. But because of the pandemic, it has shot beyond 500,000, 500,000. And this is what they said. People are coming to us saying, I need hope. Where can they find hope? The world is bankrupt. Jesus gives hope. When people are in pain, we can offer them encouragement and hope. Brothers and sisters, when people come to us looking for hope and looking for answers, are you and I prepared to give them answers, to give them hope? Maybe after this pandemic, more and more people will be praying and going back to church. And fifthly, my last point, ask God for courage. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He was talking about going to die, and they were sad. And so he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. The old translation is, be of good cheer, I have already overcome the world. Francis Collins is the boss of Dr. Anthony Fauci. I think all of us know who he is. He's on TV almost every day. He's the guy, the medical doctor, who's in charge of taking care of the medical side of this pandemic. And Dr. Francis Collins is his boss, who is also a very strong Christian. And this was what he said to the Washington Post. He was interviewed. He said this. We all have to be strong and courageous. I'm very fond of that verse from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That encourages me. And I hope it encourages you as well. And I want to end with this verse. One of my favorites, Isaiah 41:10. The Lord is telling us today as we face all this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Let's pray.